Okay, does that work? Can you hear anything? Okay, there we are now. Okay, which one is the volume on this one? This one here. Okay, don't like it to be too loud. So please let me know if you can't hear me properly. Just raise your hand and say can't hear or whatever, and then we'll take it from there. Okay, so welcome everyone. Everyone is nicely settled in. You have found got a room and everything. Yeah, everybody okay? Anybody who is kind of bewildered, wandering around, doesn't know what to do? No? Everybody okay? Okay, that's great. So that's good. And I know that Bianca, she's always very good at kind of starting people out, getting them organized and sort of settling them down. She knows the routine very well. So that's good. So hopefully that will all be sorted. You have all heard about the 8 precepts, right? Anybody hasn't heard about the 8 precepts? No? Everybody knows about the 8 precepts. Okay, good. So what I will do now is just to give a short introduction about meditation practice in particular, just to talk some basic things about, you know, just to relax and enjoy and this kind of stuff, because it is so important to kind of get it right at the beginning. Once you have it right at the beginning, the retreat tends to flow very nicely as a consequence. But the idea with this kind of retreat is to mix meditation practice with suttas. So we're going to study some of the word of the Buddha and then meditate at the same time. And I have always found that that is a very nice combination, because when you read the word of the Buddha and you meditate at the same time, you go deeper often into the word of the Buddha. You understand it in a more profound sense. And also, when you read of the Buddha, you get inspired, right? You feel, wow, this is just so beautiful, so powerful, so nice. And your meditation gets deeper as a consequence. So there has this kind of mutual benefit, reading the suttas and doing meditation practice at the same time. And I have often found that people sometimes say that the suttas are so hard to read, difficult to understand, and all these kind of things. And sometimes, of course, it can be difficult, because the idea of the suttas is, of course, it is a profound teaching. It is the word of the Buddha. It is a spiritual path that takes you all the way to the end of suffering. So it can be expected to be a little bit profound, a little bit difficult sometimes. But overall, I have always found that the word of the Buddha is, to my mind, by far the easiest way to understand the Buddhist path. And you can often read teachings by all kinds of teachers in the world, but I have found the Buddha's word to be the most precise, the most concise, the most consistent throughout, across all the suttas. Once you get into it, I've always found it to be very beautiful and also very powerful at the same time. So this is kind of the idea behind this. So if you don't like this idea, then, well, you have a problem. You I'm not sure what you're going to do. Maybe I want to go home. But hopefully you like that. Otherwise, it's not going to work out very well. So that is the kind of the background. What I will do now is to just give some very basic meditation instructions just to get us started on this retreat. And one of the things that I always say at the outset is to remember that Buddhist meditation is all about enjoyment. It's all about happiness, it's about joy, it's about feeling a sense of relaxness and ease, right? This is what Buddhist meditation really is all about. And I will read out one of the suttas probably tomorrow morning, or maybe the day after, in the afternoon or whatever, that talks all about how meditation is supposed to be experienced. And what you will see in that sutta when we get there is that it is all about the happinesses, the joys, the eases of the mind. That is what meditation is all about. So the personal experience of meditation should always be a very positive one. This is what you get out of the suttas. It doesn't mean that this kind of, you know, you're going to feel bliss from the moment you enter Jhana Grove till the moment you leave. It doesn't mean that. That would be too good to be true, right? Life never works quite like that. But what it means is that we should be an inclination towards ease and enjoyment and happiness in this path. Because that is what you see in the suttas again and again and again, how the Buddha teaches meditation, and how it is in fact the whole Buddhist path, not just meditation practice, but the entire path is really a path inclining towards more happiness and less suffering in life. And already there, already that information is already very, very useful to give us an idea of how we should go about our practice, because our entire practice can be informed by that idea that it's supposed to be a positive experience that we have in meditation. Yeah, it's supposed to be positive. So from the very moment you sit down on your first meditation until the last moment when we leave this retreat, all the way through, it's supposed to be something generally positive. And if it isn't positive, then you have to ask yourself why, and you have to kind of adjust a little bit just to make sure that it is a positive experience. So this idea of happiness actually informs how we do the whole, how we go about this whole meditation practice. And it starts from the very start. You sit down, right? And the very first thing, of course, always is to ask ourselves, are we relatively comfortable when we sit down? And this is one of the nice things about a place like this, is that you have opportunities to sit in different ways. You can sit on the floor if you like. You can sit on the chairs if you like. I'm wondering whether we should bring some beds in here so we can kind of lie down. Would that be nice? really, really relax, right? These things look a bit like beds. Maybe you can fold them out or something. But and I know some people, actually, some very famous monks, who actually lie down to meditate. And they say they get the best meditation when they lie down. Why? Because they can really relax. When you lie down, you can really, sometimes you relax too much and you fall asleep. But, you know, generally speaking, you can really relax when you lie down. So lying down is also okay here. So make sure that you are comfortable when you do your meditation practice. Change your posture. Sometimes sit on the floor, sometimes sit on a chair. Sometimes lean against the walls here, right? Sometimes go and do walking meditation. Sometimes go back to your room and just do lying down meditation in your room. Whatever it takes to be relaxed and at ease, essentially. Don't go for the pain in the body. And it is surprising how common it is in the world of meditation for people to experience too much pain in the body. They often think that pain in the body is a sign that you are really, or you're really going for it, right? No pain, no gain is kind of the idea there. But the Buddhist path doesn't really work like that, because the Buddhist path is all about the middle way. Right? This idea of the middle way is the very first teaching of the Buddha. After his awakening, he goes to the five monks who were looking after him, and he says to them, I've discovered the middle way. And this is the very first teaching. And then he describes the middle way, between, you know, not indulging too much, and on the other hand, not torturing yourself. And yet this very first teaching of the Buddha, even though this can be considered a foundational teaching, because it was the very first teaching he gave, still people forget this. Still people forget that torturing the body is not very useful in this practice. So please remember that, the idea of the middle way, not torturing the body, not super indulgent. Now, you are here at Dharma Grove. It's a very, in my opinion, a very wonderful retreat center. Peaceful, nice surroundings, good company, right? You get all these wonderful people to hang out with for 9 days. It's a wonderful place. But it doesn't really have that ability to indulge very much. There isn't really much entertainment here. There isn't that much you can do apart from sit on a cushion for 9 days. Most people consider that torture to have to sit on a cushion for 9 days. And yet you are coming here doing that. So the indulgement side is not something that you have to worry too much about. It is the pain side and the torture side of things that you have to be concerned about. I always say to people, if you're going to err on a meditation retreat, err on the side of comfort, err on the side of a little bit of indulgence. How much indulgence anyway? You can maybe sleep half an hour longer, you can have an extra cup of tea, right? It's barely called indulgence in the world at all. So it's pretty good, actually. So please do that, and don't feel bad about that. Feel good about that, that you are relaxing and enjoying yourself. This is the very first thing. find that middle way where you're not torturing anything. Yeah? And when you do that, you find that it's not just your body that you are relaxing, but you're also relaxing the mind, because it's difficult for the mind to be relaxed if the body is not at ease and not enjoying itself. Mind and body are so closely connected to each other, and if you can relax the body, you're also taking the mind with you a long, long way. So learn, start off by focusing on the body. Allow the body to find a sense of ease. Ideally, a sense of ease that is much more profound than any ease that you have in ordinary life. Actually, this is perhaps ordinary life, I don't know. But that's more a philosophical question, what is ordinary life, I won't go there. But so the idea is that as the body becomes relaxed and then becomes very much at ease, you're using the body as like a barometer, as an indicator of where the mind is at. The body falls to becomes at ease, you know the mind also is actually experiencing some degree of ease and happiness at the same time. So use that, and you will find that when the body is really relaxed, the mind also is getting there. So use that as a measuring stick, a yardstick if you like. You will see that mindfulness tends to arise as a consequence of that. So this is the very first part of the meditation, and once you kind of get that right, that in itself may take you a while just to feel that out, maybe a few days. Make sure that you, especially in the beginning of the retreat, that you take it easy, you go slowly, you allow yourself to kind of settle down and find that ease. And if you do that, that will kind of carry you through these 9 days very nicely. But the second aspect, once the body is at ease and you find you relax the body, it's not just the pain, of course, but the tension in the body. All of these kind of things need to be really relaxed. But once the body is in the right place, the second part is then to focus on the mind itself. For as far as the mind is concerned, one of the most important things is just to be very patient and just to sit and to allow things to settle down. There's only so much we can actually do with the mind. The most important thing is just to sit back and wait and allow things to kind of be very patient. Just say, well, I am now closer to the meaning of life than I am at any other time in my life. This is where I really want to be. So just relax and just enjoy this. Just be supremely patient. Just allow things to be. Just enjoy whatever is happening here at the Dhyana Grove Retreat Center. And if you do that, and you are very, very patient, things will tend to kind of calm down and settle down all by themselves. All you really have to do is sit there and wait. And that waiting game, the more patient you are, the more deep the meditation tends to go. Is there anything at all that we should be doing? And yes, there is. And what we should be doing is just to very slightly nudge the mind in the right direction. Nudge the mind towards a sense of a positive attitude, a sense of enjoyment, a sense of gladness to be here. This idea of attitude is very fundamental on the Buddhist path. If you have the right attitude, kindness in your heart, compassion for the people around you, and all of these things, then that will tend to make the mind also very, very peaceful. If the attitude becomes negative or fault-finding and these sort of things, then that will really destroy and disturb your meditation practice. And one of the things I would really recommend you to do while you are here is to remember to have a positive perception about the people around you. This is so important because it's so easy to be disturbed by other people around us and so easy to find fault with other people. When we live so close together, very, very easy to see the small little annoyances, right? Oh, why are they doing that? They shouldn't be doing that. This is a meditation retreat. They're talking. What? That's terrible. Shouldn't be talking, etc., etc., etc. So, if you are going to enjoy this retreat, I would really recommend you to see the positive in the people around you. These are wonderful people who come here. Nobody would choose to come to a Dhyana Grove Retreat Center for 9 days, keep the 8 precepts, right? This is torture for the vast majority of people in the world. Yeah, it is, right? If you take an ordinary person off the street, say, okay, stay here for 9 days, no entertainment, no internet, just sit down on the floor, watch your breath. They would say, you're crazy. This is, I'd rather go to jail than do this. So, because of that, you know that these people who come here are very well intentioned. These are people who really want to live a higher kind of life, want to do their very best to make their own life good and also the life of other people as good as possible. So remember that. So every time you see something that may not seem right or seems unfair or wrong, remember the big picture is very, very positive. That is the most important thing here. People here, we come from many different cultures, many different backgrounds. Some people have come from overseas, right? And because of that, it's easier for misunderstandings to happen sometimes. So give each other the benefit of the doubt. Remember that the big picture is very beautiful. This is one of the fundamental things that makes the retreat really work out. And if you have that sense of metta and goodwill to your fellow retreatants, yeah, and please have it to me as well, I will have it to you, right? Then it will be so easy. And then when you sit down in meditation, you feel good about the people around you, then it is actually so easy to meditate, because there is that lack of defilements in the mind which makes it possible. So this idea of attitude being so important in the Buddhist practice. One very nice way to look at the attitude that is required for meditation to work is to look at the 8 precepts that you are keeping while you're here, and just consider very briefly what they say and what they say about the attitude that we're supposed to have. And of course, the first precept is the precept of not killing any living beings or harming any living beings. And of course, when we talk about the precepts, we're not just talking about the negative side of these things. We're talking also about the positive side of things. So we don't harm, but instead of not harm, it's not just that we're not just harming, we actually have compassion and a sense of wanting the welfare of other beings, right? And this is what I was saying about this idea of metta just before. And when you have that idea in your heart that you want to live and act for the welfare of others, you have compassion for them, that is the kind of attitude that will take you into more meditation, deeper meditation practice. Then, of course, you have the idea of generosity, or not stealing, which is the second precept. The opposite of that is generosity. So have a sense of generosity to the people around you. Even on the retreat, sometimes we can do little acts of kindness to each other. Sometimes they may be completely unspoken, of course, not things that actually you may not even be aware that other people are doing acts of kindness for you. So you just do little things which are kind, just to kind of build up a sense of goodwill inside of you towards the people around you. So when you see an opportunity to do something positive, an act of generosity, if you like, take that opportunity, and it will lift you up. And then when you sit down on the seat, you feel, whoa, you feel good about yourself, because you know that you are living for the benefit of everybody who is here on this 9-day retreat. This is kind of the trick about all about happiness and well-being, is a feeling inside that you are really worthy of that happiness because you live well and you're doing the right thing. And then, of course, we have the third precept, and the third precept is, of course, about abstaining from any kind of sexuality while we're here. And, of course, the idea behind this precept is that when you are on a meditation retreat, you want to point the mind in a different direction towards a different kind of happiness. The happiness that comes from stillness, from peace, from the goodness inside. Yeah, the spiritual types of happiness. And to do that, to enable that to become more strong and more powerful, it is often very useful to restrain the mind from some of the most powerful sensual pleasures. Because sensual pleasures is an external force. It drives the mind outside, looks for happiness outside. The senses are always about the world outside, right? Meditation is the opposite of that. It's about going inside. You cannot both go inside and outside at the same time. So that's why we restrain some of those sensual pleasures, so as to enable us to go inside instead. If you find too much happiness in the external world, that attachment is going to stop you from going inside. And then we have the fourth precept, which is all about speech, about, you know, we're not supposed to lie. And of course, on a retreat like this, if you keep silent, you're not going to have many opportunities to lie, which is probably good, right? And no opportunities makes it even easier. But sometimes I know people find a retreat situation a little bit oppressive because they can't talk. But if you find it oppressive, please try to change your attitude to what is going on. If it becomes too oppressive, just come and have a chat with me or a chat with somebody who you know, with Bianca or somebody else who is around. But the idea is here to have the right attitude towards these things. Everything in Buddhism is about attitude. Everything can be bad if you look at it in the wrong way. Everything can be good if you look at it in the right way. And the attitude that I would recommend you to have is the attitude of seeing silence as being acquired as an act of generosity towards all the people around you. Because when everybody here wants to meditate more deeply, and that silence, that quiet actually enables that meditation practice, and you know that on a retreat like this, there will be people who get good meditation. There's always a large variety between the people. Some get really, really good meditation. Some people are more struggling, and many people are somewhere in between. So remember that. There are people here who get really, so blissed out and so happy. And they're kind of saying, I don't want to go home, they say, after the retreat is finished. What a wonderful thing that is when that happens. So remember that, and when you remember that, you're supporting all these people who are meditating well. It actually gives you a sense of happiness that you are supporting them. You're giving them an act of generosity just by being quiet. So that makes it very beautiful, right? Again, it makes you happy. It's just a change of attitude, a change of intention is the whole difference between whether something is oppressive or whether it is something which is very supportive for your meditation practice. And then there is the other precepts about renouncing. We're supposed to have sleep on the simple beds. The beds here are kind of okay, borderline, but I think they're perfectly fine. And then we have the precepts about not adorning ourselves and that kind of stuff. The last precept about eating after midday. So all of these things are there to kind of hold back a little bit of the sense pleasure. That's really what it is all about. And also what they are about, one of the nice things about coming on retreat is not to worry so much about the ordinary things that we worry about in ordinary life, what we look like, that we dress in the right way. We ought to be happy when we look at ourselves in the mirror, right? And all of these things we can discard for 9 days. And actually, it's very liberating when you are just this being, right, who doesn't worry about what you look like or anything like that. There's nothing to prove to anyone else. There's nobody you have to impress. There's not the opposite gender that you have to look right for them. All of that, just throw it out of the window. All of that doesn't matter on this retreat. You become like this genderless person walking through this retreat without any kind of kind of losing your sense of identity a little bit. It's very nice when we lose a little bit of our sense of identity, because identity is so much caught up with our sense of self. And our sense of self is one of the blockages on the Buddhist path. Sense of self always has to be bolstered, supported by your thinking mind, by, you know, arguing in your head with other people, all this kind of stuff. When we reduce the sense of self a little bit about who we are, we can actually relax more, be more at ease, not to worry about all those things that we ordinarily worry about in ordinary life. And you will find that actually is also very supportive for your meditation practice. So, basically, it's just relax, find a comfortable position. once you are in a comfortable position, make sure that your body relaxes 100%, that you have no tension, there is no problem in the body. And make sure you spend a lot of time just doing that, so you can really feel at ease. And if you do that in the right way, the mind also becomes peaceful as a consequence. And mindfulness already starts to arise. And then when that is happening, the next thing is to remember the idea of the attitude, to find a sense of joy, gladness on the path. And that gladness and joy always comes from things like our behavior, our practice, our generosity, the way we relate to the Dhamma and the Buddha. All of these kind of things have a potential of giving us a sense of gladness and happiness on the path. And when that happens, that is where meditation really starts to take off. In the suttas, we find this nexus, these three factors that almost always work together. And these factors are pamuja, which is gladness, sati, which is mindfulness, and virya, which is energy. Energy, gladness, and mindfulness tend to work together. So you know that you're on the right track. When these things start to come up in your mind, energy, gladness, mindfulness arising, wow, it becomes very nice and very beautiful. And that is where real meditation starts. Okay, so I will stop there. And that is just a little bit of an introduction. I will be giving guided meditations every day. And if you wish, you can come to those. If you don't want to come to those, don't have to. I forgot to tell you at the beginning that on my retreat, I have learned this from Ajahn Brahm, so don't blame me if you think this is too slack. But Ajahn Brahm has told me that there's only two obligatory things on retreats. And those two obligatory things are breakfast and lunch. Everything else is voluntary, right? So if you don't want to come for the talks or for the meditations or anything else, it's really 100% up to you. So if you feel, I would recommend you to come to the talks because they can be inspiring. But if one day you feel tired or you feel uninspired, no need to come at all. I'm not going to keep the book on who is here and who is not here. So just enjoy. That's the most important thing. Whatever you do is really completely up to you. So that is all for now, and let us do just half an hour of meditation together just to get started with this retreat. Okay, so please just start very slowly and gently on this retreat, and just allow yourself to very carefully come into the mood of meditation practice. And just start off by just sitting down and settling down, and allowing yourself to feel what you feel like, feel the body, feel your mind. No need to do anything at all really at the beginning. Just feeling what is happening is enough. And by feeling what is going on, you get some information about what you need to do. You feel the body is uncomfortable. The first thing is to allow the body to come into the comfort zone, where you feel at ease and relaxed, and where you start to enjoy yourself. So make sure you take plenty of time just to do this, just to relax and find that ease of the body. And as you just wait and allow things to settle down, make sure you have a very gentle awareness on your body, a very gentle kindness towards yourself. And if the awareness is gentle, the body tends to relax as a consequence. Just allow things to happen by themselves. Don't try to force things, don't try to make yourself at ease or relaxed. It should be a natural and easy process. All you do is really wait. And as you wait patiently with the right attitude, and you focus with gentleness on yourself, things tend to kind of calm down, become peaceful and at ease. And also at the same time, just feel the wonder of being here in such a peaceful and beautiful place. Most of you have come from the city, and this is just so different from the city. This is so peaceful. There's something wonderful about this, something almost magical. Try to enjoy that. And as you do that, you find yourself settling down nicely.
almost at the end of this meditation, and I would recommend you at the end of each meditation to ask yourself how you feel now, and to try to understand the process of meditation, whether you feel better at the end than when you started, and what are the reasons for why that has happened. What have you let go of? What are the perceptions you have changed as the meditation progressed? And as you start to understand the process of meditation, you become very skilled at how this actually works. So try to remember this at end of every meditation. Try to understand what is going on. Okay, so I think we will stop there, and we will okay, so very good. So have a nice night and have a good rest, and then we'll see you again tomorrow morning. I will be out here at 6 o'clock, and please come whatever time you think is suitable tomorrow morning. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll see you at 6 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. Let's just bow down to the triple gem before we leave for the night.